going to take your Bibles now and go to the book of Romans. Book of Romans, chapter number 1, just after the book of Acts. Romans chapter 1, verse number 14 through verse number 17 this morning. We'll read responsively. I'll begin on verse number 14. You'll join me on verse 15 and all the way through verse number 17. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 14. The Bible says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's pray.
Father, please, would you take the scriptures today? Would you meet the needs? Lord, what an important truth we have for the day. Lord, it's not something just so that we can educate our brain, but so that you could change our life. Lord, I pray that you just help us to take this truth, burn it deep into our lives, and help us to use it today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Aren't you glad that when a child is born, it's not fully grown? I know you ladies are glad of that. But isn't it amazing that when a child's born, all of its parts are there, generally, but they're just smaller versions. God has that child grow through life till they turn out to be fully grown adults. Since creation, God has made it so that things grow into place. Do you know, not until other than creation, everything grows. God spoke the world into existence. God spoke the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth into being. God spoke the plants into being, but since that day he made it to they would reproduce and grow from seed or grow from infancy all the way up to maturity and keep on the circle or the way of life. Now, that's the way God planned it. That's the way God planned it for man. That's the way he planned it for animals. That's the way he planned it for the plants of our world, that there would be a series of gradual change in our life. Life got more complicated when man chose to sin. Man chose more change than God wanted us to have. I'm going to make a statement here. The growth progress for people, animals, and plants, and everything is gradual. Nothing in life stays the same. Nothing in life stays the same. Then why is it that so many people are bothered and panicked by change? Folks, there is nothing in this world that stays the same. Then why do we let change cause us panic? Now, listen to this statement, and I want to help you. God also does not give you all spiritual knowledge or all spiritual understanding when you get saved. The moment you get saved, the light bulb doesn't come on and say, Shazam, I know it all. Growing spiritually is a process, just like the process of being born the first time. God tells us that he wants us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, a child doesn't go to school and on the first day of kindergarten come home and say, I know it all, I don't ever have to go to school again. Now, they may say that, but it's not true. My brother went to kindergarten, came back, told my mom and dad, I never want to go back to that place. And they said, what happened? He said, I didn't learn to read, I didn't learn to write, and they made me take a nap. And that's been his attitude about school ever since. It generally takes 12 to 16 years to begin educating a person. You say, what do you mean begin educating? How many of you have learned more since you went to school than you did in school? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. God says in Romans chapter 1, verse number 17, one of the most amazing statements in Scripture to me. I want you to notice verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God, watch this, revealed from faith to faith. God is saying that God's righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. Now listen to this. That doesn't mean you go from religion to religion to religion. It doesn't mean you go to the Methodist church one week and the Catholic church the next week, and the Unitarian church, the Episcopalian church, and the Nazarenes, and whatever church, and you go from faith practice to faith practice. That's not what the Scripture says. Just like you don't have a baby and the mom and dad take it one week, and then this church member takes it the next week, this church member takes it the next week, and that child has different parents every week of its life. Now, some of you would like to give one away for a while. But what God is telling us here is this. God reveals his righteousness from faith to faith. That means this. As you use your faith, God will give you more faith. And as you use that faith, you've increased your capacity because you've already used your faith. And he can give you more faith. And as you use that more faith, God gives you more faith. So your faith is revealed as you use your faith. God says that as you use faith, you get more faith. Not only do you get more as far as filling up what you had, but you stretched yourself just a little bit to get a little bit more. It's kind of like when you want to eat a lot of food. You got to go stretch your stomach a little bit beforehand. So you eat a little extra. Then you eat a little more extra. Then you eat a little more extra, and then you can hold a lot of food. Now, when you go the other direction, it's a whole lot harder because it's no fun. Trust me. I've been on a reduction plan. You know, the rebates don't come as fast as it goes out, let me tell you. God says he will refill our capacity to hold what we had, but he'll also increase our capacity. And God says he will reveal himself from faith to faith. Now watch this. The Christian life is this way. We obey what we know, and God will help us obey the next step. Until we obey what we know, he can't increase our capacity to do more. The Christian life is not a video game or part of the virtual world. Now listen to this statement. This is why many people get upset and disappointed in God when they pray and he doesn't pop out of the bottle like a genie and grant their request. There are some things for which you pray that may take decades. Say, why is that? God could answer it. There are some things God won't do. God won't force anybody to get saved. He'll keep bringing people by to whom will witness to that person, but God does not force anybody to get saved. Quit blaming God for a lost loved one. I didn't say stop praying for them. But don't blame God that they're not saved. God's not willing that any should perish. God wants them saved more than you do. But God does not come down, grab them by the nape of the neck, and shove their head in the altar and say, get saved. Everybody doing okay? Sometimes we get this video game mentality that, okay, God, I did what I'm supposed to do. Hurry up. God doesn't work on video game schedule. God says that he reveals himself from faith to faith. Now, I want to give you three or four things this morning. I think three things, and then we'll go to the house. Number one, God says he does this from faith to faith. God is saying if we use our faith, he will increase our faith. The way to increase your faith is to use what faith you have. We have in this room people who have been saved just a few weeks. We have in this room people who have been saved a year or less. We have people in here that have been saved less than 10 years, and we have people that have been saved in here 50, 60, 70 years. Everybody's at a different level of faith. Everybody understand that? But we're all taking the same journey. Here's what's interesting. God says, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. Did you know you can't live the Christian life until you use the faith of salvation? That's why work salvation will not work. It's not by grace, through faith. I don't care if you get baptized every week, you'll die and go to hell if you're not saved. You can get baptized at every creek, every river, every pond, know every tadpole by name, but you'll still die and go to hell if you've never received Jesus by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now watch this. As you use that faith, by the way, that faith wasn't even yours. According to Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, God hath given to every man the measure of faith.
Yes, sir.
He even put the seed of faith in you, so that the moment you heard the gospel and you were willing to listen to it, that moment you got saved by faith that he gave you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That what? That is a relative pronoun that renames the preceding noun. And that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? The faith. God given to every man the measure of faith. So we don't even get saved by our faith. The Bible says in Galatians 2:16, Galatians chapter 3 verse 11, Galatians 2:20, that we are not saved by our faith, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Ooh, that's a whole different ball game. But we have to utilize that faith. Boom. Then we have to go to the next level. Once you've been saved, you don't have to keep getting saved. Aren't you glad you don't have to keep getting saved? Aren't you glad he entered into the Holy of Holies once for the eternal salvation of mankind? But then, after you've used that faith, your capacity for faith is bigger than it ever was. So God fills that faith and says, okay, you need to start going to church. You need to get baptized. You need to start tithing. You need to start witnessing to people. And each step you take, God increases your faith. So it's revealed from faith to faith. And from this faith to this faith. And from this faith to this faith. You don't get saved and you're preaching the gospel 30 minutes later. It has to be revealed faith to faith. Everybody doing okay? Now, hang on. When you get saved, you obey by getting baptized. Then you join the church. Then you start coming to church. Then you start trying to grow and come to church Sunday night, Wednesday night. And the more faith you get, the more it's increased, the more it's increased, the more capacity you have. Then you start witnessing to people. You start passing out tracts. You start going soul winning. You start being a silent partner with somebody. And you start doing that. Faith is not blind foolishness. Faith isn't putting a blindfold on saying, I'm going to walk across Route 81 at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I believe God that I'm not going to get hit. You're an idiot. There's a joke that's told about a fella that he put a blindfold on and he said, I'm going to live by faith and I'm going to walk and God's going to take care of me. He walked out in the street and car hit him and killed him. He was standing there and supposedly God met him and he said, well, God, I was believing by faith that you were going to protect me. He said, son, by faith, I gave you two eyeballs. Why didn't you use them? Faith isn't this blind foolishness. Faith is obeying all you know to do, and God shows you what to do next. Boy, that's a good statement. Faith is doing all you know to do, then following his word, and he increases it, and he'll show you what's next. Because Brother Josh has been living by faith, we found a purchase of a bus in a different state, thought we were going to do it, and at the last second, because God revealed from faith to faith something in his life, he said, that's not the right one. Then God worked out a deal. God's a better used car salesman or used bus salesman than anybody. But God wanted to see our willingness to do what we needed to do. By the way, sometimes that's what it took to get the other place to give us what we needed them to do and what we wanted done 3 weeks ago. How was it revealed? From faith to faith. And that increases our ability to live by faith. And that increases our ability to live by faith. Oh, in the process, God gave us that short bus. In the process, the fellow that sold us that is a great contact. He buys and sells buses on the side like that. And he only buys good quality stuff and sells it pretty cheap. Now, wait a minute. How did that get revealed? From faith to faith. From faith to faith. And each time we increase our ability by using our faith. Now, listen to this statement. God will not increase your faith until you use what faith you do have. I drove home from the church yesterday afternoon after soul winning. And the light in my truck came on that says, low fuel. I said, I'll get it later. Well, it was cold out this morning. But I knew my low fuel light was on. I knew I didn't have much fuel. I jumped in my truck and I drove all the way up here to Sheets without warming my truck up first. Say why? There's a difference between faith and foolish. I pulled in. I filled her up to the top. Did you know I couldn't put any more fuel in till I drive the truck? I have to use what fuel is in the tank before I fill it back up. Now watch this. That's the way faith is. Unless you use it, God can't give you any more. Now I wish the tank on my truck would grow sometimes. But God will expand your capacity with faith. It's a little different spiritually. When you obey in tithing, God opens the windows of heaven, Malachi 3:8, and rebukes the devourer. He's increasing your faith because you exercise obedience in tithing. It's that simple. I'm not a money-grabbing preacher. You'll never hear me put pressure on you to give. I want you to see how God can bless your life. I want you to find out how good God is. Hey, it's fun living on less money than the government says you can live on. What in the world are you giving the church that much money for? I'm not giving it to the church, I'm giving it to God. I can't explain to you how I can live better tithing than I can not tithing, but I can. I can tell you that I believe it so much that I have made it a part of my life and it's been revealed from faith to faith. First time you write that check, your hands quiver and thinking, how are we going to do this? But boy, you do it enough, your hand quivers if you don't do it. So God says, I'll reveal my righteousness from faith to faith. Number two. Are you ready? Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Look at verse number 32. This one is going to make you shout. Somebody say amen. There you go. Okay, just want to make sure you're awake. John chapter 8, look at verse number 32. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you, what's the next word?
Free.
Free. God does not give truth until you obey the truth you already have. God is saying in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth. And when you obey that truth, you're free to learn the next truth. Everybody doing okay? It doesn't mean you're freed from that truth. It means you're free to learn another truth. Did you know on the backside of the obedience of truth is a new truth to obey? As you learn a truth and obey it, watch this, God says, I'll teach you another one. And as you obey that one and you're still obeying that one, God says, let me show you another one. And as you obey those three truths, God says, let me show you another one. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now listen to this. The obedience to the truth unlocks the next truth. The obedience to truth unlocks the next truth. I have no idea. I'm sure in a crowd this size, somebody in this room has said this to me. I do not have you in mind. I know I don't go a month of my life, and I'm pretty sure I don't go many weeks without hearing a statement like this. Preacher, I read my Bible, but I don't get anything out of it. I always say this, keep reading it and obey what you do know in it. Because as you obey what you do know, God will reveal the next truth as you read. The key to it isn't just keep reading it, it's keep obeying it. Boy, that's good stuff. Obedience to truth unlocks the next truth. I've been involved in Christian education a long time. Did you know? Well, you can't learn algebra till you learn your math tables. Unless you know how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide, it doesn't matter if you can do algebra in kindergarten. Everybody doing okay? You have to know how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide before you can do algebra. I'm going to tell my secretary. We were working on a project the other day, and it was an overall total of money for something, and we knew how many components that was. And with she was adding shipping and everything, she gave me the total. I said, well, this is how many, this is how much. And I said, how much is that per? And she said, give me a second. And I said, well, I can do it in my head faster than she can on the calculator. I said, it's about this much. I had it virtually to the penny. I was within, I think, 0.8 of a cent off. She just turned around and looked at me. Now, I said, I can do that kind of math, but don't start putting the alphabet with it. I hate algebra. What stupid Greek sat down and figured out quadratic equations? I have never used a quadratic equation in my adult life. Not once. Business math, every day. Quadratic equations, zero. Not once. I'm not saying algebra is worthless, but close. Geometry, mm-mm. Calculus, why do you need to take a math course on a calculator? I mean, come on. Trigonometry, I didn't get the first two. Why do I need trig? To me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. When I was a principal in school, I would teach any course except algebra, calc, or trig. Wouldn't do it. Say why. Mm-mm. Them puppies knew more than I did about that mess. Now, I could add, subtract, multiply, divide, estimate, calculate in my head a whole lot faster than they can. But past that, mm-mm, forget it. I used to go to the kids, I used to go to the elementary level, and they do the flashcards. You remember the flashcards? I would go around the room and pay them a dollar if they could beat me. We'd do flashcards for 15 minutes in the classroom. It'd be fun. Every once in a while, one of those little brats would beat me. But it was rare. But it made them work harder because they wanted to beat the principal. They wanted to be able to spit those out like that. So did I. I wanted them to be able to. Boy, that's good stuff. I'm going to teach you something here. God says, I'll reveal truth as you obey truth. I don't intend to be critical with this statement, but listen to it carefully. This is why I don't own any commentaries. Commentaries are written by intelligent people who study all the time and write all the time, but they don't obey what they write about. Did you hear what I just said? You give me any commentary you want, and I mean any. I can read through it and show you bad doctrine. Because you have people that all they're doing is learning and they're not obeying, and they create truth, they don't obey truth. I don't care if it's Matthew Henry. I'm going to get in trouble. I don't care if it's Oliver B. Green. I heard Dr. Oliver B. Green preach. If you turn the Christian radio on, you'll hear his voice. Save the soul, near as hell. But he preached almost a work salvation. Now, he's got a commentary on every book of the Bible. He can tell you what every toe on the Nebuchadnezzar's image was, and what it was made out of, and which country it represents, and what the nail on the toe was, and the fly on the nail on the toe, and everything else. But when you don't obey the truth, some of the truth that we get is tainted. You get truth by using truth. How many of you were in the military? If any of you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about here. When you had the paper generals, you had the sergeants and things that came out of military academy that hadn't lit a hot dog stand, but because they went to military school, they knew it all. Guess what? Usually they got shot from behind. Just because you can do it on paper doesn't mean you know how to do it. Truth is revealed by obeying truth, not by knowing truth. The Bible is alive to obeyers. It's just a history book to non-obeyers. Let me say that again. The Bible is alive to obeyers. It's merely a history book to non-obeyers. I'm careful about how our Constitution is worded about the Bible. I get a little worried when I start seeing Baptists put on their websites, their articles of faith, and they say, that the scriptures must be taken in a historical approach. History has nothing to do with it. It's alive today. It's needed today. Well, back in, that's how you get culturalism in fundamentalism. That's why people will change what the Word of God means, because they're trying to say, well, back then it meant that, but today it means this. Who made you God? In other words, the Bible becomes alive to those who obey it, and the more you obey it, the more alive it is. You're raising your children. You get to that two-year-old stage. By the time you hit three, you're ready to pop their head off and spit down the hole. And you wonder, am I ever going to quit having to spank this child? It seems like it's a daily occurrence, in some cases, an every hourly occurrence. I'm teasing. But you get to a point where you think, is it really worth it? It is. Because then it's every other day. And it's every few days. And as they start obeying, you don't have to force them to obey. And as they start obeying, freedom comes back. It's, did you know people who obey don't go live in jail? The people who are free are the obeyers, not the disobeyers. God says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That means obedience to truth makes you free to learn another truth. Why should God give you another truth if you're not obeying the one he already gave you? Why should God give you more truth if you're not obeying what he's already given you? The word know is the word activity. It's an action word. And ye shall know. It's an action word. Inactivity is not knowledge. Someone who has a bunch of facts doesn't have knowledge scripturally. They have facts, but they don't have knowledge because they're not obeying what they know. Boy, that's a good statement. Knowing is action, and you cannot know more until you use what you do know. It's like pedaling a bike. Did you know that you have to use both feet to pedal a bike effectively? Now, all of us have tried that. You know, put your foot behind it. But you don't start off that way unless you're going downhill. Say, what happens? That those pedals on the bike are on a circle, on a wheel. And they're going around. You push down with one, and the other comes up. You push down with that one, the other comes up. You push down with that one, and you're just going like that as you pedal. You can't pedal with the left one till you pedaled with the right one. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You obey this truth, God gives you that truth. You obey that truth, and God gives you another truth. That is what God is talking about in the Bible. Number three, and I'm done. There's so much I want to say. Turn to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Towards the end of the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 2, look at verse number 21. The Bible says this. Oops, I'll give you a second to get there. Daniel chapter 2, verse number 21. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. Watch this. He giveth wisdom unto the what? And knowledge to them that have? Oh. God says he gives wisdom to wise people. Doesn't say he'll give wisdom to the foolish. And knowledge to the ignorant. No, he says, I'll give wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those that have understanding. Now, wait a minute. God's not going to give you knowledge until you understand and use the one that you have. But he also says, I'm not going to give you more wisdom until you use the wisdom you do have. God says, I give wisdom to the wise. Now, hang on here. Let me help you. Did you know that according to Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7, fools despise wisdom? That means God cannot give wisdom to a fool. Say, what's a fool? A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Somebody that does not believe that there is a God or our God, Jehovah God, the Bible calls them a fool. You can put any name in there you want. Fools hate wisdom. Bernie Sanders is a fool. Not politically, he's a fool scripturally. Because he's a fool scripturally, he will be a fool politically. Liberalism is a parasite. It cannot reproduce on its own. It has to live off of a living host. Socialism only lasts one generation because it sucks the life out of everybody that had money. It will not work. Everybody doing okay? All right. So, fools hate wisdom. Guess what? God can't give wisdom to a fool. Watch this. Simple people don't know how or where to get wisdom. Simple people can get it, but they don't usually get it because they don't know where to get it and how to get it. Then you have some people who use what wisdom they do know. God calls them wise people. But here's the thing, you get more wisdom as you use your wisdom. Say, how do I become wise, preacher? Use the wisdom you do have. And as you use the wisdom you do have, you become wise. My son, who decided to put his fingers in the lawnmower one day, gained wisdom. He wisened up, not this one, he wisened up to not ever do that again. Lawnmower's on, don't stick your fingers down there. He gained wisdom. If he does it again, he's a fool. Y'all know what I'm talking about? All right, now hang in there. You have to use what wisdom you do have in order to get more wisdom. Where do you get wisdom? Number one, you get wisdom according to Scripture by the Word of God. So the more of the Word of God you get and the more of it you use, the more wisdom you will have. Number two, you get wisdom by getting wise counsel. Go get biblically sound, wise counsel. Come see the preacher. Come see somebody who is spiritual that will help you. And I mean biblically spiritual, not somebody who has got the collar on backwards. Call themselves father and dress like a mama. I'm talking real spiritual biblical counsel. You get wisdom by counsel. Boy, that's a good statement right there. And then you get wisdom by the reproofs of life. The lawnmower on the fingers is a reproof of life. You driving too fast and the guy with a car with lights on it and sirens is a reproof of life. You're not supposed to do that again. Some of you do it until the points come off and then you'll do it again. I thank God it's been over 30 years since I got a speeding ticket. I decided I was going to obey. By the way, what kind of reputation would your preacher have if he's all the time breaking the law like that? Everybody doing okay? I don't have time to go there, but Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33, go back and read that sometime. It'll talk to you about wisdom, where to get it, where to find it, and who gets it and who has it. Now, if you don't use what wisdom you have, why should God entrust you with more? Now, God says anybody who lacks wisdom will ask for it, James chapter 1, verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But watch this. A fool hates wisdom, so he won't ask for wisdom. A simple person doesn't know to ask for wisdom, so they don't ask for wisdom. It will only be the wise who ask God for wisdom. Did you know a fool can't lead a wise person? A fool can't lead a wise person because a wise person won't hang around foolish people. A fool can only lead other fools and simple people. They deceive the simple into being fools, and the simple don't realize they're being used foolishly. That's what the press is trying to do with people. That's what education is doing today. They're not educating, they're propagandizing. If you knew what was really happening in the government schools of today, it would make you vomit. I sat in a college class Tuesday afternoon, your favorite class, ABH, Brother Young. They were talking about the 1947 Supreme Court decision. He was reviewing for a test a little bit and trying to find out what the guys really understood about it. One of the fellas asked a question about it because it was the first overreach of the Supreme Court to make law, not interpret law. And the teacher and I happen to know each other. I'm about 2 years older than he is, I think. I remembered him when he was skinny and had dark hair. Now he's fat and has white hair. And I'm fat and don't have any hair. But I was sitting in the back of the classroom, and they talked back and forth a little while. And the teacher said, "Now, Brother Bush, let's get your opinion on this." And I said, "You really don't want it." He said, "Sure I do." I said, "Brother so-and-so," I said, "I think you need to go back before 1947 to find out why that's true." I said, "If you'll go back to the 1930s, that reaction is a knee-jerk reaction to FDR and what he did with the New Deal and tried to overthrow the court. He had gone through all of World War II without using the Supreme Court." I said, "This was their first chance to exercise authority since the death of FDR, and they overreached." There was a holy hush in the room. And the teacher looked at me and went, I thought, uh-oh. He said, "Gentlemen, you just learned how to understand history a whole lot better." He said, "Brother Bush is exactly right, and I've never even thought about that." He said, "Brother Bush is trying to fix the problem, not just look at the reaction to the problem." He said, "You've got to go back." He said, "He's exactly right that it's a knee-jerk reaction." He said, "Let me talk to you boneheads that don't understand what he's talking about," and went back and described what took place. After class, I walked up and I said, "Sir, I'm sorry." I said, "I'd have kept my mouth shut." He said, "No." He said, he said, "Your view is exactly right." And he said, "I needed that. I need to go back and reteach some things the right way." I said, "Well, my view of history is different." I said, I teach history this way, not this way. I said, "If all we do is look at a battle in World War II, we can figure out how to win that same battle again. But if we'll go back to the 1920s when Germany was rebuilding the Third Reich when they shouldn't have been, and avoid World War II, we'd be a whole lot smarter." I said, "We would have never had a Hitler counting on a Sitzkrieg while he blitzkrieged." That's what he called it. He said, "The Western powers will not do anything. I've already breached it this many times. They've sat there doing nothing. They're afraid to do something. I'll keep going." I wasn't trying to impress anybody. I was sitting in the back room trying to keep my mouth shut. He asked for it. I opened my mouth wide. Cannot go back. Wise people will ask for wisdom. The fool won't. So God says he would reveal his righteousness from faith to faith. God said you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. God says he'll give wisdom to the wise. How do you get it? You use what you have. God opens the door for another. Do you want to grow in the Christian life? I just taught you one of the greatest truths you'll ever hear. You want to know what to do? You get saved by faith. You get baptized and obey by faith. Start tithing by faith. Join the church by faith. Start attending regularly by faith. Start witnessing by faith. And you'll watch the Bible come alive to you as you start obeying the truth that you do know. What a wonderful way to live. What a wonderful way to live. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe we ought not try to worry about our notebook, and we ought to start worrying about going back over the plays and start living what is in the notebook. Probably ought not worry about filling up another one until we've started obeying what's in the one we have. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon today, something I needed? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and scores of hands just about everywhere.